back on Downtown on your Tuesday afternoon time for some Celtics talk as we turn to John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm curious, I know you mentioned it on social media. What is the rest policy for John Corrales? You going to get in trouble here? I mean, you took a week off the first time in 10 years on our show.
I know. I'm sure that you'll be hearing from Adam Silver. Somebody's getting fined for that, for sure.
What do you think of this policy? Is it good for the league? Does it make sense? How will they enforce it?
I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. And honestly, the more I think about it, the more I hear some other people talk about it. Some people have made some great points. It shouldn't be a surprise that as they're starting negotiations on a new TV deal, that they are now enforcing and coming out with this more punitive rest policy. I don't think TV networks want to spend the amount of money that's about to be spent without some assurances that the biggest stars in the league are going to be there on ESPN and TNT, and who knows if like Apple TV steps up or Amazon steps up. They want these assurances that people will do whatever it takes to watch the best players play basketball. So I think there's some of that involved. How will they enforce it? It's just a matter of if they say Jason Tatum is missing a particular game with knee soreness, and it's the first instance of knee soreness that he is facing, they might want to see an MRI. They might want to see or interview some people or kind of see what's going on with it. I think there's some level of they want to make sure teams understand that it's not just the fans. Like it's an easy sell to say, you know, Joe Public and his family of four are going to the Garden for one game this season and they're spending $500. That obviously is true. But I think the bigger sell is ESPN and TNT and all these outlets are going to be spending a lot of money and they don't want to be sitting there with the second unit starting a game and people deciding not to tune in. Because that would be disastrous for outlets that spent a ton of money to buy these rights.
The network would like to see a note from your doctor.
That's right. You basically take the most restrictive HR or maybe elementary school principal, and that's what the policy would be.
John Corrales with us here on Downtown. Now, you just posted earlier this afternoon at Boston Sports Journal an early look at the Celtics rotation. I want people to go read the article, but let's talk about the second half of that and who might get squeezed when it comes to minutes.
Yeah, I think people need to understand there's a seven-man rotation that's already, we know that these guys are going to get the minutes, right? Tatum, Brown, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, Kristaps Porzingis, Robert Williams, Al Horford. The seven players there are going to get somewhere between, we'll say, 25 or 26 minutes a game to 35 minutes a game. Well, there are 240 minutes per game to be played in a regulation game. And when you add up everything, there's less than 30 minutes to split between your Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, O'Shea Brissett, Shvi Mykhailiuk, and Luke Kornet, any of those guys at the end of the bench, that's not a lot of minutes for a lot of guys who have some expectation of playing. So I think we need to understand that while Peyton Pritchard is going to get more opportunity this season, it's not necessarily a game-to-game he's going to get 15 minutes a game. They played three guards last year because they had to, because they had Marcus Smart. Well, now they have three bigs that they have to play, and now two guards. Derek White's going to play a lot of minutes. Malcolm Brogdon's going to play a lot of minutes. Jason Tatum is going to run the offense for a fair amount of time. So Peyton Pritchard's going to be there when somebody is hurt or taking one of those load management days or something in that realm. He's not going to get game-to-game opportunity. Guys like Sam Hauser are going to have to earn their minutes on a daily basis. Shvi Mykhailiuk that they brought in, he's going to have to earn his minutes on a regular basis. So I just want people to understand that just because Smart and Grant Williams are gone, that doesn't mean that everything changes as far as those end of bench guys. Peyton Pritchard especially, I know the narrative has been, this is now he gets his chance with Boston. He is still going to get plenty of DNP coaches' decisions. It's just that he will also be the first guy off the bench in a lot of situations when somebody is injured or maybe they're playing a little bit less. Maybe there's a minutes restriction on guys. But it's not going to be exactly the way people think.
Celtics added another piece, a little depth over the weekend with 2 weeks to go to camp. Are they pretty well set when it comes to the roster right now?
They still have the one open spot. That is, I think, going to stay open, but all three of their two-way spots are now open. So I think that they're set for now, and they are going to probably carry that empty spot into November, December. We still have to see how a lot of these guys fit together. We still don't know exactly how Kristaps Porzingis is going to fit. We still don't know exactly what Malcolm Brogdon is going to do injury-wise, how his elbow is going to be. So there are some theoretical things that are going to potentially change. The new guy that they just signed, Demetrius Kreta, is going to be a two-way guy, probably more likely to be spending most of his time in Portland than in Boston. But in emergency situations, he's going to be like Fiondo Cabangeli last year. So an opportunity here or there, maybe he impresses somebody in camp, but mostly he's going to be on the sidelines, and the Celtics will have to figure out with that open spot, unless OKC waves somebody interesting and Boston decides, oh, wow, we need that guy. Then they can fill the spot that way. They do have options. They do have, like I said last week, a lot of guys that are on basically training camp deals. Delano Banton, Sri Mikhailuk, those guys are basically on training camp deals that can get waived if they want to continue to keep an open roster spot for moving forward. So I don't expect anything unless there's a surprise cut on a camp, in somebody else's camp, and the Celtics feel like they can't miss that opportunity to bring that guy in.
From the mostly real world of the NBA to the slightly fictionalized world, I was disappointed to see that Winning Time is done on HBO after two seasons. And you talked about it on the socials last week. Obviously, it was done from a Lakers perspective, and so Celtics were often the bad guys, but I found it wildly entertaining.
Yeah, it is a fictionalized, and people get so upset about this. Like, it's not a documentary. We know it's not a documentary. They're actors portraying, they use real life events to portray things. And obviously it was written from a Lakers perspective. So if Magic is the protagonist, then Larry Bird is the antagonist. It's very simple. And you know what? As a lifelong New Englander, I'll count myself amongst the hardy New Englanders who doesn't mind being the villain every once in a while. You want to make me the bad guy? Sure. No problem. I'll lean into that. I'm sure Boston doesn't mind being the bad guy in this story. And hey, maybe Red Auerbach's ghost came in and said, "Hey, we're going to end this. You guys want to glory? You want to give Magic all this glory? We're going to make this story end on a Celtics championship anyway. So maybe we'll just retroactively call it a Red Auerbach leprechaun moment. He got a Lakers story to end with a Celtics championship."
Although I hope his ghost is happy because Michael Chiklis did a heck of a job.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that Michael Chiklis in interviews was keeping it up. Like, he was like, yeah, you want to make Boston? Like, who's really the bad guy here? Like, he was all in on the Boston side of things. So he did a great job. Those guys, it was a fun show.
Absolutely. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Have a good week. And we'll check in with you again next Tuesday afternoon.
All right, we'll talk to you then. See ya.